Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's Recap and Review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Tree Inc. proudly present No Points, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, maybe not given, Borgo. Thank you so much for joining us. And joining me right here are our good buddies from Wicked Anime, Andrew and Jonathan Fleming.
Hello.
Hi.
So the reason why they're here is because this episode is going to be more of like a post-Wikis mix show. Like, normally in the past, we've had the episodes where we talk about the best and worst of anime, but 2016... was just so engulfed with amazing anime that it would be nearly impossible to actually list a top five. I had a tough time doing a top 10 list on the website.
Yeah, I watched a total of 67 shows this year, which is a lot. And there was good stuff to remember.
Yes, and today's episode, we are going to be spending 15 of these songs, even though there are far, far more songs out there from anime that were so good, but we just couldn't fit it onto this list. 15 is already a smorgasbord. We can't fit it anymore.
How do I hold all these songs, song waifus?
So, for our listeners, if you are interested in watching all of these anime, actually, I think just about every single one of these anime series, with exception maybe one or two, you could watch them on Crunchyroll, or if they're not on there, you could probably watch them on Hulu and the Anime Network.
Or steal them.
Really? Why did my...
Why did hey, my... Siri!
Siri just, like, turned on for me, and I have no idea why that happened. That is weird. That has never happened to me before. But yes, 15 songs from 15 of our favorite anime, and that's not even scraping the barrel. There are so many more shows out there. So yeah, go on to Crunchyroll. And right now, the 2017 season has already started, and my God, there are already so many great shows that have already started.
Yep, I'm enjoying it. But there's also some really bad shows.
talking about the ugly fairy CGI show?
Oh, there are far more now.
Really?
I mean, yes, that one is pretty bad, but I've been going through quite a few shows, and I actually think that there's a show that I like less than that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, me too. Okay, let me kick this off. This is just for a little bit.
did you you remember that show that I was talking about? I was like, oh, look at this short anime. It has no description. It's just called One Room, and it seems like it's going to be telling a story from three different perspectives.
Yep.
Well, I watched the first episode of that, and I'm almost positive the FBI was knocking on my door after I watched it. It goes along one of those new trend of short animes where it's a POV anime where you're a character in the show.
Yep.
Well, apparently your character in the show cannot stop gawking at these little girls, and I'm like, what am I watching? Like,
they're high school age.
Like, I know, but still, it's like, this is really uncomfortable.
It is.
It's one of the most uncomfortable POV shows
I'm not making it better by saying, oh, they're high school girls. I'm saying they're not like Adam Pre.
I know, but right. Still, it's
not Kodomo no Jikan is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, this show, like, you watch the show, and it's more of like, it's not a comedy, it's like a serious anime, and you're watching it, and the POV is, like, going into weird angles on the girl, and, like, you're going to, like, weird places, and she's having weird conversations with you, like, you're some weird...
It was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable.
But maybe it was meant for the high school market.
Maybe, or come on, remember the golden rule from Sergeant Frog.
Which is?
It's okay to ogle because all these high school girls are played by college students in their 20s.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick off this list.
Yeah. Let's kick this list off. Remember, if you're interested in watching these anime, go to Crunchyroll, Hulu, Anime Network, Funimation, or Matt... I don't even want to say that because I might get in trouble. So the first song on our list is the show that you guys voted as the best anime of 2016, and that was Erased.
Yeah, that was a long-standing show that stood out in my mind, and it will continue to stand out in my mind for a long time.
I gotta say that when I watched the opening to this show, Jonathan says he didn't get the same feeling, but I certainly did. When I was watching it, it gave me the feeling of nostalgia when I first started watching anime in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Of watching, or at least just listening to the song and being like, wow, Japan. Mm. You know? Getting that feeling of classic anime mixed with like, oh, I'm going to go to a convention tomorrow, which I wasn't, obviously. But, like, you know, it's that nostalgia feeling that you get. For some reason, this song...
Mm. We want to blast it whenever we want to get into the mood for some anime.
Yeah, it's a good anime.
Yeah, and it's Asian Kung Fu Generation, which is a band that many people are like kind of. This is a band that kind of is the gateway to many Japanese rock bands, and this is how people like with me with the Pillows. It's with Asian Kung Fu Generation with others.
Yeah, well, so, and Full Metal Alchemist did that for them.
Yeah, and Naruto as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Asian Kung Fu Generation is very much an anime music band.
Right.
Do you like crap?
That's a story for another time.
Many people know the Otakon story.
No, that's Lark on Ciel.
Oh, it is. That was
Asian Kung Fu Generation is not done in an American show yet, and I've never understood why.
I got the two Full Metal Alchemist openings mixed up then.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
Do you like crap? They're not on this list.
No, on this list. All right. So, here's the first song on our playlist from the show Erased. This is Asian Kung Fu Generation with Riri, 2016 version.
明日も過ぎてって僕は今日もかきむしって忘れない傷をつけてるんだよ Oh, 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 君じゃないとさ
That was Sangetsu Switch by Suzu Megahara Chugaku Takyubu. Did I do it right that time?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Excellent.
From Scorching Ping Pong Girls.
Yeah, from the anime Scorching Ping Pong Girls. I really like that opening because, like I said on my on our show, I like to listen to theme songs that have the main cast singing it.
Hmm. Yeah, I find that that's a really strange trend that they do, though, is that when they make shows in Japan, it's like, well, can they sing? That's a part of their audition. It's like, who cares if they sing? Can they act? That's always a pet peeve to me. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting to see that because they can sing, they get this voice acting gig. It's like, oh, well, you can also do this for us. We're going to write a theme song and you're going to sing in it.
Yeah.
So it gives them, you know, that extra boost in skill to get the job.
Right.
Know,
if they can, and then it's not sing. Just them singing. They're singing it as the character.
Hmm. Right.
So they're like doing two different things at the same time.
Yeah. So they have to alter their voices, which is an interesting idea for, you know, learning how to sing. It's like, well, just do your acting voice, you know, and maybe you'll get it. Maybe you can't sing, but your character sure can sing. Sing the damn song. Anyway, Scorching Ping Pong Girls was really cute.
Yeah, it was.
It was weird though. It made me very uncomfortable in places though, because it was very sweaty. Like very, very sweaty.
Have you ever played a hardcore game of ping pong? Because you do sweat quite a lot.
Apparently not.
No, I've never played a hardcore game.
I've definitely never sweat as much as these girls. They're like drying out sponges.
I don't think I've ever sweat that much doing anything.
Yeah, right? If you haven't seen the show, you gotta see it. They're wearing like that polo material shirts and they're turning see-through.
Yeah, they're sweating
soaked
through it. And it's just, what? He's like, you need to drink some water.
Yeah, seriously.
That's dangerous.
Oh, but the opening.
The show was cute.
I loved the opening.
Yeah, I loved the opening, and the show itself was really cute. And it took a few episodes for me to be like, oh, I want to watch this, like, every day kind of a thing. It was really slow in the beginning, but
it was a little bit slow, but then I felt it really picked itself up when you started seeing the characters evolve on the main court, if you want to call it that.
It's a good binge show.
Yeah, and that's how I did it. I kept watching it, but I didn't know why.
I just feel happy watching this, and I don't understand why.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yes, Scorching Ping Pong Girls. Now, the next song on our list, and I know Jonathan is very excited about this song.
Yeah.
I actually really like this song, too.
And it was one of the best parts of a really great show, which was from Magical Girl Raising Project. This song is Nano by Dreamcatcher.
It's a good show.
Sorry. This song is Dreamcatcher by Nano. We're gonna be doing that the entire show. I guarantee it.
I thought Magical Girl Raising Project was a good show. It wasn't a great show.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was great.
We talked about this on our latest episode, which may or may not be out right now.
It'll be out in a couple days after this airing.
I feel like it was one of those shows that was just like, did you see what we just did? Look how terrible we are. Isn't it horrible? And it's just like, yeah, that's horrible.
Well, they tried to top Tragical Girl.
Yeah, Tragical Girl.
Girls.
Which they tried their hardest to top Madoka Magica.
And I think they did pretty well with that.
They did, and there are two different kinds of burns.
Yeah.
And there are two different kinds of pain between these shows. This one's more straight up in your face.
Yeah.
But
I hated Cranberry.
Yeah,
Cranberry was the worst character.
Yeah.
Tama was the best written character on that show.
That's what I agree with you.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like my heart sank when you saw what Swim Swim did to her in the end.
Yeah. The difference with this show is that this one's not a binge show. If you did it week to week, the burns were so much slower.
Yeah.
And you didn't just see one after the other. You actually got to sit with your feelings for a while when you watched an episode. You were like an entire week you had to sit with it and say, oh man, what horrible thing's going to happen next? As opposed to when you binge it, you say, okay, I'm just going to find out what horrible thing happens next.
Yeah. Because I watched it within a week. And it was like, yeah, okay. Like, I get it. You're trying to make me feel sad. And you're saying like, oh man, that's a really terrible thing we did there. You should feel bad. But characters didn't respond in the correct manner that they should have responded realistically.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like their emotions weren't as traumatized as they should have been. Like, everybody should have been way more traumatized and way more sad about stuff. And they weren't.
Yeah.
Swim-Swim was a nutcase.
Swim-Swim was a nutcase. Cranberry was stupid.
Anyways.
Yes.
This Can I do the
yes,
intro to the song?
Yes, you can totally do the intro, because I know this was one of your favorites of last year.
It was one of my favorites. Okay, so this is the ending theme to Metrical Girl Raising Project. This is Nano with Dreamcatcher.
Do you see the light ahead? Do you see the light ahead? Will you face the night ahead? Will you face the night ahead? So far away, so far away, shining rain forever, so far away, arising. So far away, so far away, find the way forever, so far away.
This night, the stars will set.
Azusa Tadokora with Junshin Always, the end theme to Myriad Colors Phantom World. And in Kyo Annie fashion, they always find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Jonathan, I know you did a review of the show, not a wicked fast review, but more in-depth review of this. Was it fulfilling to watch the show as it went on?
It felt super rushed. The last episode should have been two episodes, but it was okay. The overall show altogether ended up just being okay. It was fun to watch, and you totally should watch it if you get the chance.
I did really like that show.
And the animation was great. The fan service was good.
Well, see, the whole review that you did for the show was actually more of a retrospect on fan service itself. You
right,
kind of yes. Use that show as an outlet.
Right, exactly. And it was a good place to use it because it was very prominent. But overall, the characters weren't bad. It was funny in places. There were some episodes that were snoozers, but
what studio is doing, or what show is Kiyoani doing this season?
Aha, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which is so far my favorite this season.
It's your favorite?
Yeah.
That's what you're going
to
be writing?
I might have to write about that one because, like, I was just taken aback by not just how smart their writing was, but just how flat-out hilarious everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I also really like the fact in this one, they're not just like, could these characters be lesbians? We don't know. They just are. Like, yeah. It's like, we're not hiding it. Oh, yeah, they're totally lesbians.
Well, at least the Dragon Maid is not necessarily, they're not necessarily focusing on the maid, Miss Kobayashi yet.
You're right, yeah, because even she was just like, but you're a woman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she's or like, rather, but I'm a woman.
Yeah.
It's like, I love you, but I'm a woman.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like, she even asked that question in the show, but
I know, that was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be probably talking more about Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid as the weeks progress, especially on the Wicked Anime Podcast Show.
Yep.
Coming up next is probably my favorite, one of my absolute favorite shows of last year, and probably like the most comforting show of 2016, and that was Flying Witch.
Yeah, I love Flying Witch.
Flying Witch.
It was so good. It was cute and comfortable and relaxing and funny. And
it made you feel warm and fuzzy inside while watching it. It was like wrapping yourself in a warm blanket.
I was watching the most recent episode of Tokyo Eye that came out,
yeah,
which was like Tokyo Eye in the winter, and they actually had that little vegetable that they were picking, the ostrich root or something like that. Remember that like little circle thing that they were pulling out of the ground?
Mm-hmm.
In that one episode in the forest. I actually saw them feature that vegetable on Tokyo Eye, so I finally actually got to see what it really looks like.
Mm-hmm. What you were saying?
Not the mandrake.
They didn't that's what I was about to say. Wait,
No, not the mandrake. The ostrich. Yeah,
that creepy Junji Ito creature.
Yeah. I don't want it.
If you don't want it, I'll take it. Like, if they, I want a plushie of that creature. I want a plushie of him.
Yeah, I would love a man plushie.
Yeah, but yes, Flying Witch. This is the opening theme to the song, and accompanied by 96 Neko, this is Miwa with Shan Ran Ran Ran.
Shan Ran Ran Ran, 空を飛んで、この街を見渡すの。みんなといると違って見える。きっと忘れられない、All my friends.
Accompanied by What to Know, that was Yuri on Ice with You Only Live Once from, of course, Yuri on Ice.
Yes, I obviously really liked the intro much better.
Yep, but we already played that in a past episode.
I know.
I still haven't seen the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were born to make history, Andrew.
Oh.
And they kind of did. I mean, it broke a lot of, like, DVD, Blu-ray records. It got a lot of even, like, American and foreign skaters talking about the show. It was on a lot of people's minds.
And it was mainstream gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the first. I said this on our show that this was legitimately one of the first shows that had a homosexual plotline in some way that I watched through the entire way. Not because I'm against it or anything like that, but just because it's not really a story for me.
Yeah, it's not really what interests you.
But this show was good. It was great. And it had every element that I wasn't for. It had it had figure skating, which I was like, well, why am I watching the show? I mean, and yeah. And then the other thing, but the other thing holding it together was that it had really good animation. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, that's MAPPA for you. I mean, MAPPA is amazing with their animation, especially since these are guys that used to work for Madhouse. They went off and did their own thing because when I was when I did the interview at Anime Boston, he said he wanted to start fresh and new, so that's why he formed this new company. But he's saying, now I think I have to do it again because MAPPA's getting too big.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's not he can't escape it. He was in Shirobako.
Yeah, right?
Like he was a character in Shirobako. Yeah. So
he's just like a show about the animation industry. They were
and
saying
they used
hey,
him as
you're,
the president.
Yeah, you're the animation industry.
Yeah. So he can't escape it. He's not escaping it.
No, considering the fact that he's probably like one of the main figures in anime. Now, considering that, like, he was there with Osamu Tezuka. He was there working with him on Astro Boy and Kimba, all of those amazing programs at Mushi Productions, even going so far as, like, the more infamous films like Cleopatra and Belladonna of Sadness.
Oh, yeah. Still haven't seen that.
I'm afraid to watch Belladonna of Sadness.
Yeah, I kind of am, too.
Anyways, good animation.
Yes, great animation from Yuri on Ice. Great story, great characters.
Yeah,
great dog.
Victor was one of my favorite people to watch this season.
Mm-hmm. Very enjoyable, very funny character. All right, maybe this next song will be up your alley, which is the end theme to My Hero Academia.
Yes, Brian the Sun with his song Heroes. Yes, I love it.
The show was great too, and I can't wait for the second season to start.
Oh my gosh!
The second season for My Hero Academia is one of my most anticipated shows for the entire year.
I think everybody is waiting for the second season because everybody loved that show.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who already know what's going to happen through the season because the manga is on sale in America, and it's already far past where the second season ends.
Yep.
So if you want to know what happens, if you can't wait, just pick up the manga and you can read it, which is great. And I have to say that also as a side note, I am just looking forward to anything with Academia in the title because Little Witch Academia is also coming out this season and I love it.
Yep. Although I haven't seen it yet. Although stupid Netflix having to keep it to themselves until the springtime probably.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Netflix would have let us down when we're looking for simulcast stuff to review and we can't watch Little Witch Academia until it's done?
Yeah, because they're a binge network.
Yeah.
Which I don't get. I mean, come on. If they can let that Chelsea Handler show have a new episode and pop it up right there, then they can do it for Little Witch Academia.
I wasn't even aware that Chelsea Handler had a TV show that was being released one episode at a time on Netflix.
Yeah, she has a new talk show on there.
That sucks. I mean, I don't know Chelsea Handler that much, so I can't say whether or not that sucks. But the fact that what sucks is that they are doing it one episode at a time for her, but they can't do it for
one of the most hotly anticipated anime of 2017.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at least it's not how Amazon is working things with them starting their new anime. I know we're probably going to talk about this on Wicked Anime, but them starting up their own service. But you have to have a Prime account to get that service, and then you have to pay extra money for that service.
Well, that's really strange. I have Prime, and I was really hoping that it wouldn't come to that. And, I mean, have you seen the anime that they have on Amazon Prime already right now? It's awful. Like, just straight up nothing you want to watch. But then you have to pay on top of what you already have. Like, you pay a lot for Prime. I just renewed my subscription for it this year, and it went up quite a bit from where I had it originally.
Oh, yeah.
When I originally signed up for it.
But I think that's a story for another time, probably for the next episode of Wicked Anime. But let's get back to Brian the Sun with their song from My Hero Academia. The song's called Heroes.
Sayonara.
That was Ai Kakuma and Nobuhiko Okamoto with Daisuki Dayo, Daisuki Dayo, Umareta Kite Arigato, which was the opening theme for Momo Curly.
Just it was a really, fun show.
It was a really funny show, especially from the friend's perspective. Yeah.
I couldn't stick with it. I don't know what it was. Something wrong with me, I guess.
Now, here's the thing that I found really interesting about this, because this was originally a web manga series, and the web manga series started in 2014. And the first episode of this show, of the anime version of it, technically premiered at the end of 2015. So what I'm wondering is just how popular is Momo Curry over there? Because for them to do an anime adaptation, probably even starting pre-production on an anime adaptation, a year from when it was first starting to be published.
Yeah.
Like, how impressed were the people, was this anime company by this concept of Momo Curry?
I don't know, but maybe I should start a webcomic on a Japanese website.
Yeah. Hey, it worked for one.
And it also worked for Hitalia.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it worked for Hitalia.
So,
for better or
webcomics,
worse.
Yeah, webcomics are making up animes all over the place, so, hey, what the heck?
Yeah, Momo Curry was quite the adorable show. I know it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I did like the humorous aspect of the girl who, she has the boyfriend, but yet she can't stop spying on him.
She can't stop stalking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the characters are blissfully cute. The friends are what make the show, though. We talked about it. They're hilarious. Like the friends are just they're the best part of the show.
I hope their passion just burns and burns and burns until they're set on fire and die.
Yeah, and pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. And speaking of dying and so many deaths, how about that show Drifters?
Yay, Drifters.
Drifters was probably the coolest show.
I'm thrilled that it ended with a, hey, see you in season two.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's
20XX!
The show is so balls to the wall the whole time. The fact that they ended by throwing it in your face. By the way, we are getting a season two, asshole.
You just have to wait a while.
Yeah, probably.
And man, here's what made me sad, because I love the opening theme for this, but it wasn't featured in every single episode.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true.
Because there was just so much that was happening in each episode that sometimes they had to be like, oh, I guess we have to skip out on showing this badass opening with all the characters going na 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 all the time.
Yeah,
I really love that.
Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
And there's the elves going na 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 na.
Yeah,
na,
yeah, na. Exactly. It was really well animated, and the aesthetic was really good for the actual opening.
Yeah, it was like that. It encompassed the feeling of all the characters in the show. You knew that you were getting into a really good action show, and you knew that every character was having fun doing it. So yeah. Like that song and the intro encompassed that feeling.
Mm-hmm. And these guys tweeted at you, right?
I tweeted to them my review of Drifters, and they were stoked that I mentioned them, calling them the luckiest band in America right now, because they are now associated with one of the most badass anime of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Menace and Midnight, they are actually going back into the studio right now, recording a new album, hopefully touring very soon. And they said they hope to come to Boston.
Nice.
So we'll definitely have to keep our eyes and ears peeled for when that happens.
Yes.
So this song here is from Menace to Midnight, the opening theme from Drifters, and it is called Gospel of the Throttle, Gyohon remix version.
Just give me the feeling, push my motor every day. Push my engine all the way. Push my engine all the way. Everybody, na 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 na.
つま先からちょっとずつ生まれ変わってく気分、名前はまたない、始まった物語、最初の1ページには風の中に立つ人が、ああ夏草の匂い、湿った空気と打ち寄せる波の世界を遠くにあると思った船を待つ人魚のように生まれて初めてここが揃った時がついた今想像と違う
from the anime A Manchu. And in the very same way that we talked about Flying Witch, this A Manchu gave a lot of the same feelings, just like a really nice summer day sort of anime.
Yeah, you know, like, JC's staff is really good when it comes to the Iyashike, the comfort anime, because they did both Flying Witch and Amanchu.
Yeah. And they hit it right on the head. And the, what was interesting was that their art styles were so different from one another, and they were so unique. And that was one of the most charming things about Amanchu, is its unique art style. All the character designs were gorgeous, and they were pretty. And then they each character had their own Super D that they were identified by, which was unique. I'd never seen that before. Everybody was drawn, had their own unique face that was drawn in certain situations.
Right. It wasn't like the same sort of face. Like we had Picarly, who was like the Kermit the Frog kind of a chibi. And then you had, oh God, what's her name? What's her friend's name? I'm like blanking out.
Deco.
Deco. She kind of had like a mousy kind of look. And then we had like the twins, like the sister kind of had like a monkey look because she wore like the monkey thing for scuba diving. But I can't seem to remember what the brother had for a look.
The brother had the lines for eyes with no mouth. He was kind of like just that blank stare, no emotion face. And then the teacher was always angry. Like she had the angry face.
Yeah.
By far, I love Teko's facial expression, though, because she was always such a timid, shy character, and there was something so endearing about how shy she was.
I really liked the twin sister.
Yeah,
I liked her face. I love the cat smile, like in anime. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I remember there was a game out called White Knight Chronicles for the PS3. And you got to create your own character, and one of the options for when you create your character, like their facial features, one of the mouth features was the cat smile. And I was just like, I'm gonna do that one.
I'm actually surprised that like Sentai or anybody, no one has actually licensed this show yet, because I think, because it was like practically on par with Flying Witch.
Yeah, but it probably didn't get as much recognition, only because it's really hard to get into Iyashike sometimes.
Right. Mm. Because I mentioned it in one of my more underrated sort of titles for 2016 on the Wiki Show. Like,
yep.
The show that more people should have been watching.
And very well deserved, too, because there was so much uniqueness to the show. Just,
yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, just the... Because, you know, it's like in the same fashion as Yuri on Ice. Who would have thought that I would watch a scuba diving show?
And not to mention how they're able to take an episode, an entire episode... That was basically about nothing. It was the one where Picari goes on the train just so she could quickly see these beautiful flowers in bloom and then just ride all the way back just to see it again. And then the second half of the episode, they're playing Red Light, Green Light. But the way that they did that, it was just so wonderfully written, despite the fact about being nothing.
I actually really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah, it was just like And why? You know, I'm trying to put my thoughts together here, and the question is, why do we enjoy that episode? And I guess it's just because it's like, man, I remember
doing there was
that.
A lot of character.
Yeah,
it was all character,
all That's character right. dynamics, and just you need brilliant writing in order to make something like that very exciting.
Absolutely, and I thought they hit the nail right in the head. And you know, I actually should have, because we were talking about best soundtracks on the wikis, and you had mentioned Drifters, and I was going to say Drifters. I would have picked. As my second, if I let you keep yours as Drifters, I would have picked the Amanchu soundtrack, because I thought what Gontiti did for the soundtrack was just beautiful.
Yeah, those ballads that they made, just easy listening, it fit the show perfectly. Mm. Honestly, music like that I would never listen to on my own. Like, if it was just the audio and I was listening to it, I'd turn it off in probably like a minute or two. But when it's scored with the show, it fits so perfectly that it gives you this understanding of how gorgeous the composition is.
It was like its own character in some places.
Yeah.
Very much like Flying Witch.
And it was very standout. You could tell that you were watching Amanchu and that the music had a place in it.
Mm, absolutely.
It wasn't just something placeholder.
Although I would probably listen to it outside of show, it would make nice background music, like if you're trying to read comfortably or...
Right.
So next on our list is the ending to a show that I know you two really like, because with you guys being within the game industry... Mm-hmm. You kind of relate to these girls of New Girl. Not New Girl. You do not relate to the characters.
It's from Jess. New Girl.
You do not relate to Jess. No, the show New Game.
Yes. Yeah, New Game
was...
I loved New Game.
Equally adorable as it was funny and...
cute.
Yeah, and but also very... It was accurate in some places.
What can we expect from a Dogakoba anime? Because, I mean, Dogakoba is the studio where it's just like, hey, we have this cute show, do you want it? And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And then they make cute facial
expressions. And then they do. Yes.
All they do is make cute facial expressions, and everybody's just like, this show is so great.
Mm-hmm. And everyone in Dogakoba is swimming in more money.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the leaders on, you know, creating that new moe-tastic thing that everybody loves.
Yeah. But the right kind of moe, not like so like in your face kind of moe, kind of like subtle moe.
Yeah, it's they create things with the purpose of being cute.
Right. But they also put the character with it.
Yeah, but its purpose of existence is to be cute, you know. Yeah. So and they do that really well, and it mostly has to do with the way they design their facial expressions. If the facial expressions weren't correct, it wouldn't be as cute. But for some reason, they always, like, put the mouth in, like, the correct spot on the face that it's just like, wow, that's way cuter than it totally should be. Mm.
So, that mouth is not in the center where it should be, but it makes a pretty darn cute face.
So I really liked all the characters in New Game, and I really like New Game as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Hajime is best girl.
Kagami Yo. She is the best girl.
Okay.
Kagami Yo is a really good girl, but... I really liked, I forget her name because it was a weird name. I feel like that's what it should have been easy to remember.
Is this the one with the girl, with the guns?
I do like her because she's a dark skinned girl just in general, like just by default. But who was the animator? H something.
It's
Hajime.
That's
you.
Rin, Ko, Yagami, Aoba, Hifumi, Yun, Ijima, Umiko, Nene, Hifumi, Rin.
I just read all the characters.
Hajime is the motion designer. The one.
Yeah, the animator.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's correct. Hajime.
Yeah. See, 2 out of 3, Hajime wins. Yeah, she's best girl.
Well, and the thing is I related so much to Hajime because I did that.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the studio, standing up out of my chair.
Holding swords.
Not holding swords, but, like, moving around. But, like, everybody did. We were the animators. That's what we did.
Animators love recording themselves.
And we love figurines and action figures all around our computer.
Yeah.
Like, that is totally accurate. Mm-hmm. That, like, everything about Hajime sitting at that computer and what her computer looks like was 100% accurate to an animator's computer.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, yes, New Game. Which it hasn't yet gotten a second season, but there is a new video game coming out, which is kind of acting as the second season.
Yeah, New Game's second season got canceled, or canned, or they were never going to do it in the first place. One of those. And so the game that's being released that we don't even know if it's going to be published here in the States or not is kind of acting as the continuation of the show.
Yep. New Game, the challenge stage, as it's going to be called. But, you know, 5PB, majority of their stuff, the guys who developed it, 5PB, majority of their stuff does come out here in America. So there is hope.
Hmm. Well, we can have our fingers crossed.
Yep. So this is another theme song that is sung by the cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
For Folium, which is all the girls of the show. And this song is called Now Loading. With 3 exclamation points.
4.
4 exclamation points.
Yeah. ってくる、みんなと一緒にやってくる、ニューストーリー携えて、ニューフェイスな私にさあって、どんな世界がやってくる、最高な世界ができるから、ニューゲームはダウンローディング、ダウンローディング、ダウンローディング、ナウコピー、さあ始まりがやってくる、目覚ましの音が響いたら、ニューマークな光をニューウィークに詰め込んで、さあレッツゴー、どんな奇跡がやってくる、リアキッと奇跡は作ってく、ニューゲームはダウンローディング、ダウンローディング、ダウンローディング、ダウンローディング、ダウンローディの言葉教えて、君の心もと手に入れたいから、その目に映るのは Please Please、 この手に気づいて、いつか Please Please、 俺だけ見ていてほしい、君だけ他には見えないよ、こっち見て独り占めしたい、どこにも行くの、君の全てを抱きしめたいよ、心が熱くて苦しいよ、この気持ち止められない、知れば知るほど君に夢中になる、感じてる胸のときめきはリアルさ、愛してる以上の言葉教えて、君の心ごと手に入れたいから、渡せない譲れない、早くピースピース奪いたい、その手を掴めたような気がしても、握っているのはいつも別の手で、君は喜んでいる、ピースピース、その笑顔も好き、いつかピースピース、お願い一人で泣かないで、キスは深くしない、たいできるところを君に見せたい、少しは俺に甘えてほしい、重なりかけた唇、二人の恋のベルの音が響く、今すぐに愛の物語始めよう、一億回叫べば伝わるかな、何気ない君の癖さえ愛しい、守りたい尽くしたい、なのに Please Please 届かない、綺麗なガラスの靴差し出しても、遠くを見てばかり吐きたがらない、君が主役なのに Please Please 話を進めたい、茨の森かき分けたら眠る君が見えてきた、目覚めさせるキスをするのは誰の、俺の唇、一人を映すための鏡みたい、どうしようもないくらい本気さ、愛してる以上の言葉教えて、君の心ごと手に入れたいから、渡せない譲れない、早く Please Please、奪いたい、その手を掴めたような気がしても、握っているのはいつも別の手で、君は喜んでいる、 Please Please、 その笑顔も好き、いつか Please Please、
That was from 4 to 7 with
Prince Prince, the opening theme to Kiss Him, Not Me, which was one of my hotly anticipated anime of 2016. I really enjoyed it, but I was pissed because they ended the anime just one chapter away from my favorite part of the series, which is when the dad shows up.
Well, that probably means that the second season will start off with a good kicker, right?
I hope so, because that chapter is probably one of my favorites because of how funny it really is.
Yeah. Was this also another intro that was sung by the cast, because it was an all-male cast?
Yep. It's from 4 to 7. That because you remember who's 4, who's 7. No, it's 7 to 4. No, it's 4.
Yeah, right. I love... The whole concept of Kiss Him, Not Me was really funny, about the Fujoshi, who's, you know... Well, and thanks to Sarah, we got all the information about the creator of Kiss Him, Not Me, who is actually a yaoi artist and a yaoi author. She created a series that was mainstream, that was a satire to all that.
Yeah. Right?
Which is really amazing.
Yeah, and she did it quite successfully because it's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like how unique her drawings are and her reactions.
Well, in our Wicked Anime article for the season that we wrote on nerdyshow.com, we all agreed that Kiss Him, Not Me was the show to watch for the season, and I still agree with that. I still think that was the pick that, you know, is the one that everybody picks.
Yep. Yeah.
So. It was a great show. It was really funny.
Very fun. And what I liked about the whole drawing aspect, especially when you see Kaihei go into her Fujoshi mode, you see her getting that wavy mouth of sorts. And it kind of reminded me a lot of... reminded me of Charlie Brown in some places.
That's a really weird connection.
It is a weird connection, but it's kind of like, you know how, like, when Charlie Brown is in that good grief mode, he's really nervous. The same mouth he has when Kae is in Fujoshi mode.
I just really like Yuko Bayashi. She's my favorite voice actress, and she played Kai, so yay.
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 Yeah.
And Attack on Titan Season 2 is going to be starting in the spring, and Yuko Bayashi plays Sasha. Woo!
So, yay.
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 Yay. All right, so this next song on our list, I think you guys are much bigger, like, experts when it comes to Kiznaiver, because I just finally started watching the show.
Oh. It was so good. It was... Kiznaiver was Studio Trigger's first full-fledged... original concept that wasn't just all out balls to the wall action. And it was so good that when they, like, when you first start watching it, that's what you were expecting, because it's like, oh, it's Studio Trigger, it's gonna be mad, crazy, insane, and it's about these characters,
they're gonna be superheroes.
Yeah, they are. They're gonna be superheroes because they can't feel as much pain because they're all connected to each other and they're sharing each other's pain. And you're like, wow, that's really cool. There's gonna be a lot of cool fight scenes because they can keep fighting because they can't feel as much pain. And no, it's about these characters that are all emotionally connected pain, and like, it was so, like, gut-wrenching at times, but it was also really funny, and there was so much emotion. Like, it was all about the emotion, which we never got out of Studio Trigger before, and it was a 100% property of theirs, you know, written and produced and directed, and it was fantastic. And one of the greatest things about it was its opening, because it was so unique in every way. It was psychedelic. It was great, and, you know, the fact that they used Boom Boom satellites to lay it out was the perfect choice for it. It was – the song for the opening was my pick for – and it actually won because Andrew and I were majority vote on it. It was my pick because it was just so – it was so good, and – of course, we paid tribute to the lead singer of Boom Boom Satellites, because Boom Boom Satellites lost him to brain cancer that year, like just months after Kiznaiver had ended.
Yeah.
And
this was like, it was something that he was going back and forth between, because this was like his third battle with the same kind of cancer.
Yep. Which, you know, it's devastating. But he kept fighting, and the music that Boom Boom Satellites writes, it's all so hopeful in this dreamlike sense. And, you know, it's
it's wonderful to listen to. You know, it's very encouraging and so good. But we had to let it win in, on our show this season because like it was just such a good tribute to what they were all about.
Well, and it was just playing one of the best songs of the season.
Yeah,
like it was. It was undeniable. It was just my favorite.
I said on our show that I was actually typically I'm not a fan of how long Japanese music is. Like all tracks are at least 6 to 8 minutes long, yeah. And I did not care that "Lay Your Hands on Me" by Boom Boom Satellites was like 6 to 8 minutes long because I would listen to it all day long.
Yeah, it is a very beautiful song, and you know, I got to give it up to you for actually choosing it for the best song because you know I even forget what I chose for my favorite opening right now. Probably. Oh no, it was History Maker. But yeah, this song was way better.
Mm-hmm. Enough talking about it. Let's listen to
it. Spin it.
Yeah, this is the opening to Kiznaiver. It's "Lay Your Hands on Me" by Boom Boom Satellites.
Lay your hands on me while I am bleeding dry. Break up. と満たせたい。さあ始まりの鐘が鳴る We are the city now 無邪気に手渡された理不尽時計の針も見ない心が刻むリズムだけ信じてみてよ弾むリズム For life to work でこんなほらここを信じていいんだよ素晴らしき世界さあ始まりの知らせを流せ全力で
Fantastic Dreamer, the opening theme to Konosuba, God's blessing on this wonderful world. And I know we're supposed to be talking about why the show was so awesome in 2016, but this season premiere of season 2 just recently aired, and what? My God, it was so hilarious.
It was really funny.
It reminded me of why it nearly won Best Anime of the Year on our show, because it rightfully has a spot on our list.
And Megumin is such a waifu, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
I still love Darkness the most, though.
Darkness is really good. I am not arguing with you that Darkness is really good, but I just love Megumin.
Yeah, Konosuba season 2, the first episode alone reminded me of why I love this show so much. It's so uniquely written, even if didn't even have the sound on, you could still laugh at all the jokes because the timing doesn't need it's so visual, and you can just read the whole show the way that it flows. And you know, the whole jailhouse scene in the first episode when it's like, here's a pick lock. Oh, it's a combination lock. Guess I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a saw. I can't get there. Here, I have a box for you to prop on. How are you going to fit in there? Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
I want to give this to my friend in there. Weren't you here yesterday?
Yeah, it's midnight. And weren't you here yesterday? I just got to say, though, Dean Studio, as far as animation, they are awful.
They are terrible, but their facial expressions are so perfect on the show.
They cannot draw a consistent drawing. Like, from scene to scene, the characters' designs change every single scene.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, this Studio Dean, you really are the worst animators in Japan. But they actually are able to keep Konosuba really funny.
If they're focusing on anything, it's that show.
Yeah.
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 It's on the writing, too, in general. They're more focused on. And I feel like that's helping out a lot with the humor of the show. Like, the picture of Kazuma that I sent to you before we started recording, with him freaking out as the woman is jotting down everything he's saying.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, a Ren and Stimpy kind of thing.
I was about to say that. It reminds me of the 90s cartoons of, Ren and Stimpy and Rocko's Modern Life.
Where, in almost every single scene, they're deformed in some kind of a way.
Yeah.
And they're never staying in, that same, drawn to the character's scale kind of a thing. They're always messed up and have a weird facial expression in some kind of a way.
Yeah. Everything about Konosuba is great. And it was well deserved to be a part
funny.
Of the show.
Yeah. It was so the first the season kicker was so funny.
The next chapter of adventure begins. Right, we're here to take all your shit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! When Aqua started crying, I was just
I missed that. You know what? I missed Aqua crying over stuff.
Well, because she's such a spoiled brat, but she's also just so darn cute.
Yeah, I loved in the court scene when the judge was rambling off stuff, and every single one of them was guilty of something.
And and I know we just played the opening for season one. The opening for season two is just a laugh out loud riot.
It was great. Yeah,
Watching it running towards adventure, then slowing down and slowing down. I can't keep up.
Even the opening is it encompasses everything about the show. It's so good. And it's such a funny play on the trope of characters always doing their running animation because it's a loop, so it takes up time, but this time they actually drew them getting tired and they couldn't run anymore.
It's funny that you say that too, as far as animes and tropes, because the show is a play on a trope to begin with, because there's so many shows. You have Log Horizon, Sword Art Online, ReZero,
Outbreak Company,
Grimgar,
Overlord.
It just keeps going on and on and on and on about people from the real world going to a fantasy world. And Konosuba is the one that's breaking down that trope, saying, look how dumb this is.
Yeah.
Not to say that those shows are dumb. I actually really enjoy most of those shows that I listed off.
Yeah.
But it's everybody and their grandma has a show about a human going to a fantasy world.
Yeah.
Right. And basically Konosuba's pointing out this is what would really happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think my favorite part of the new opening is you see the scene where they're charging it towards a monster. It's one of those little plant four things. And you just you see Aqua crying. You see Kazuma and Megumin just being spat out by the monster, knocked out. And then there's darkness. It's going, it's not even my birthday. But yeah. What we're trying to say, listeners, is if I haven't even told you this enough, you have to watch Konosuba.
Yeah.
All right, I think we are almost done with this whole playlist here, so I feel like it is appropriate that we do our shameless plugging. So, Andrew Jonathan, go ahead.
All right, if you guys want to join us over on our show, you can go to find Wicked Anime. You can go to... Where do we want to start? I guess suppose you can start at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can listen to our podcast and even watch some videos. You can watch those videos on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews as well, where you can subscribe. We even actually uploaded our new recent video.
How about that?
About Anime Boston. What?
Yay!
We actually have a few more videos in production at the moment as well. We have two more? What, one more?
We have at least two more that I'm working on, one of which is our highlight reel from our last Wicked Anna play.
Yeah, and
that took place at Evan's house.
And we're actually getting prepared to get into con mode.
Yep.
So we're going to be preparing our panels and stuff. So even though video production is slow, everything's going to be slow because we're getting ready to bring on the hardcore anime and waifus.
So maybe this year we could get the cringing to happen too.
Hopefully. We're gonna have to run that through that panel again because I still have it on my computer, I think.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to join us on the social medias, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/wickedanime. Twitter, you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. And you can find us at Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And there's always our Twitch stream where we made Victoria scream a lot. at Twitch.tv WickedAnnaPlay.
I think that should be now the new title of the show. Make Victoria scream along.
Scream Victoria scream along, yeah. You can also email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
Yeah, wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
All right, cool. So for my listeners, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbaby.esh, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistreetinc. Like us on facebook.com/bossofashbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other shows and sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Brook, and Nerd Crave. And Andrew and Jonathan, what happens on the next episode of Wicked Anime?
Oh, well, we're talking about all the shows that we're anticipating for the new season of anime, which we've actually already ramped up, and we started talking about, or we started watching all the shows that we talked about, but this episode that's coming out is before we've watched them all. So the episode after that is going to be what we actually started watching. This episode that's coming out is going to be what we're anticipating watching.
Yeah. And I publicly shame myself for watching a live action version of an anime that Andrew did a review of a while back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was and
good times.
It's a pretty funny conversation. It's pretty great.
Haven't watched the movie yet, though.
That's one of the things, like, this specific movie, which you'll hear me talk about on this episode of Wicked Anime, is, like, I don't know why, because I remember how terrible that the anime was. I don't know why I was so curious. Maybe it was because it was late at midnight, and I'm like, meh, I still can't kind of sleep. I'll see how this is. And me passing out 53 and a half minutes into it because of how, you'll hear what I'm talking about. Yeah. So for the final song that we're going to be spinning on this post-Wiki's After Party mix, we have the ending to probably a song that almost took it for me for the best end theme for 2016, just because, like, the full version of it is just so, like, kind of, like, very Sergeant Peppery in the way it ends. And that is the end theme to Flip Flappers.
Yes. Flip Flappers was a really interesting show that went under so many people's radar. It was probably one of the best animated shows of the year.
It was very gorgeous. I will say, though, that the writing of it kind of suffered halfway through because the head writer left the show.
Why would he do that?
I don't know what happened. Like, and it took like 3 or 4 more episodes for them to finally get their groove back.
Yeah, but the animation itself was very Gainax-y, which was pretty cool. And it was just always interesting to watch. It was a little confusing, of course.
No, it was very confusing.
Very confusing.
Episode 2 was about Mad Max, though.
Was it?
Yeah, no, that was episode 3.
Oh, it was episode 3?
No,
episode
3.
Forget, it's been a while.
So yeah, Flip Flappers. This song is Tomas, and the song is called Flip Flap, Flip Flap.
How appropriate.
It's winning.
And next week, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled No Borders, No Race. We'll be talking more about, hopefully, gaming and such. And I hope you also enjoyed our special Nintendo Switch post-show that we did with the DCD and David from ArtCast and Hip Hop Gamer. Man, that was a wild conversation I had with those guys.
I bet it was. The, hey, look, Zelda. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited about Fire Emblem Musou. So, and
I knew you'd be.
There's so many characters in that game. I can only imagine what the character roster is going to look like. Oh my gosh.
So, until next time, this is your King Baby Duck Kevin Borgo.
Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But
it sure helps.
Ah, we were saints. We told
Yay,
this.
We did it.
Flip-flap Bruce.
Thank you. Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.